Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Wonderful to have you with us. And again, wonderful to have you with us for our virtual event last night, KPCC in person, our hour-long voter cram session. All 12 California ballot propositions, we took them in numerical order, and just a few minutes on each of them just to give you a primer on what are rather complex California ballot props. It was a wonderful event last night. Thousands of people took part, and tomorrow we will air for you the audio of that in our 11 o'clock hour of Air Talk. Thursday morning at 11, the Voter Cram Session, which I've done every 2 years, bring in a panel of experts, and we take all the California ballot propositions heavily listened to throughout the Golden State, and we're glad to bring it to you on radio tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Also, speaking of radio, tonight, 6 o'clock, NPR's live coverage of the vice presidential candidates debate. Vice President Mike Pence, Democratic vice presidential candidate Kamala Harris of California, the two of them head-to-head from Salt Lake City. We'll bring it to you live, followed by NPR analysis. That's 6 o'clock today, right here on KPCC. Very pleased to have with me now former CIA Director John Brennan, who spent nearly 30 years with the CIA from the entry level all the way up to the director. He directed the CIA from March 2013 to January 2017, and his memoir has just been published, Undaunted, My Fight Against America's Enemies at Home and Abroad. Mr. Brennan, thank you very much for being with us today on Air Talk.
Thank you, Larry, for the invitation. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
I want to start with a really general question, and that is to have you riff on what the CIA culture is, sort of compared to the State Department or the FBI or other agencies or bureaus that have their own distinct cultures. How would you, in just a few sentences, describe the CIA's culture?
Well, one thing I would say is that the CIA doesn't have a single culture, because the CIA has many different components with different missions. So there's a operational and clandestine culture. These are the women and men of CIA who serve in the shadows, who go abroad under different personas and covers and try to recruit individuals to provide information and intelligence to the United States government. You also have the analysts, though, who are the world's premier all-source analytic experts, who comb through all the troves of information and try to provide understandable assessments and findings and analysis to the president and to other senior officials. You also have scientists and technologists. You have cyber experts. You have counterintelligence experts. So depending on where you are in the organization, there are different cultures. When I was there, though, I tried to integrate more of those components so that there would be a CIA mission culture, which is to try to do our utmost to uncover the secrets that will give us insights into the threats, the opportunities, and the challenges that face the United States in the years ahead.
And so what are the ways of breaking through those barriers and having people who have distinctly different sorts of personalities or work orientations to bring them together to work on a specific project?
Yeah, it's a good question. I started out in the agency back in 1980 as part of the operations directorate, but then switched over to do analysis for most of my career, but then bounced back and forth in different agency components. And so I thought I had a very good appreciation of the diversity of capabilities, missions, and cultures in the agency. So when I was director, I reorganized the CIA so that we would be more like, in some respects, the military. Because in the 1980s, there was something called the Goldwater-Nichols Act that directed that the U.S. military bring together the different services, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, Marines, and put them in unified chains of command overseas in terms of the combatant command, such as European Command or Pacific Command. And so I did the same thing in CIA. So we had 10 what's called mission centers that were focused on regional and functional issues. And I directed that all the different components of the agency put their officers in these integrated commands so that they would have exposure to those individuals in the agency that are doing similar types of missions, but have their own disciplines and expertise. because I do think that awareness of capabilities and authorities and expertise of others is the best way to facilitate not just coordination and collaboration, but integration of effort.
We're talking with the former director of the CIA, John Brennan. His new memoir, Undaunted, My Fight Against America's Enemies at Home and Abroad. If you have questions for Mr. Brennan, you can share them with me, and I'll selectively take some of those for him. We're at 866-893-KPECC. Also, on the AirTalk page, kpecc.org, you can tweet at AirTalk or post on the AirTalk Facebook page. Ms. Brennan, you've been a relentless critic of President Trump and of Republicans who defend him. Do you think that your criticism has had much influence on opinions about the president?
Oh, I don't know if it has. I think over the course of this administration's tenure, more and more individuals from all different backgrounds and political affiliations have spoken up and out against Donald Trump. Just yesterday, Michael Hayden, a very respected leader of the intelligence community, he was the head of CIA and NSA, came out with a very powerful statement where he was basically, you know, denouncing Donald Trump and endorsing Joe Biden. You know, it's quite ironic because I worked for the entire 8 years in the Obama administration, and I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I was a national security professional. But during the Obama administration, it was mostly Democrats who called for my resignation or firing, because I would do battle with, you know, members of Congress, irrespective of their political affiliation. As I say in the book and the memoir, I'm an equal opportunity offender. So Donald Trump has not approached his very solemn and important responsibilities with the seriousness that I believe that a president needs to. I served for 6 presidents, 3 Democrats and 3 Republicans. Even though I disagreed with some of the actions and policies of each one of them, I never doubted for a moment that they were trying to do their level best to promote and strengthen the interests of the American people.
We're talking with John Brennan, a former American intelligence officer who served as director of the Central Intelligence Agency from the spring of 2013 to early 2017, Undaunted, his new memoir. Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe declassified documents related to the investigations into the Trump campaign's alleged links with Russian operatives and the investigation into Hillary Clinton's email server. Your 2016 notes from your briefing of President Obama read that Hillary Clinton approved a proposal from one of her foreign policy advisors to vilify Donald Trump by stirring up a scandal claiming interference by the Russian security service. Now, the president's supporters have framed this as proof that the allegations of the Russia investigation were contrived. Your response to that?
Well, unfortunately, Mr. Ratcliffe, I think, is following the footsteps of Donald Trump, which is politicizing the office and, unfortunately, engaging in appalling politicization, which is something that the leadership of the intelligence community has always, you know, avoided, not engaging in this type of political back and forth. And also, there's a lot of misrepresentation of my handwritten notes from that 2016 period. What those notes showed was that I was briefing the president and other senior national security officials on this internal Russian report that alleged that Hillary Clinton had approved this campaign plan proposal, whereby the Clinton campaign would highlight the reported contacts between Russia and Donald Trump. Again, it was something that the Russians were alleging that Hillary Clinton had approved. Now, if that was accurate, that such a plan had been approved, there is nothing illegal about that. But unfortunately, Mr. Ratcliffe and Senator Graham and other members of the Republican Party, including Donald Trump, now are presenting that as evidence that this Russian interference in the election was conjured up by the Obama administration along with Hillary Clinton. But nothing could be further from the truth. And that's the problem I have with Donald Trump. His continued deceit, dishonesty, lack of any type of integrity that we associate with the office of the presidency. Again, misleading, misrepresenting the facts. And I think the American people deserve a lot more than that. And unfortunately, Mr. Ratcliffe has abused the office of the Director of National Intelligence, and unfortunately, he has just decided to demonstrate his loyalty and fealty to Donald Trump rather than to the men and women of the intelligence community, as well as to the American people.
Yeah, and you've criticized it, and correct me if I'm wrong, is sort of, you know, cherry picking what's released. So if there were additional documents that were released, do you think it would give a different overall picture?
Well, you're absolutely right. It's a very selective release. If people look at the documents that they released, heavily redacted, and only that which is left unredacted gives a misleading impression of wrongdoing. That's not the case. There were, and one of the documents released was a document that the CIA sent over to the FBI that included this reference to Hillary Clinton's alleged approval of this plan. But there were a lot of other documents that the CIA sent over to the FBI that indicated that there were a lot of contacts between Russia and U.S. persons. And as I said in my congressional testimony after I left office, any time that the CIA encountered any information about contacts between individuals affiliated with the Trump campaign or not, we passed that information to the FBI. So again, it's a very selective, cherry-picked presentation and declassification of information, again, that is clearly and blatantly designed to try to advance Donald Trump's misleading narratives.
John Brennan, former director of the CIA, with us, his new memoir, Undaunted, My Fight Against America's Enemies at Home and Abroad. Mr. Brennan, to what extent were you aware during your tenure as head of the CIA that Russian operatives were attempting to influence American opinion about the candidates?
Well, I certainly was aware of a lot of things because it was reported in the press about the release of emails and the reported contacts between a number of individuals in the Trump campaign. And so I tried to focus on my foreign intelligence collection and analysis responsibilities, sharing information that I received with the president, with the FBI, and with others. But I must say, I learned a lot as a result of the Mueller report and subsequent disclosures of the extent of those interactions and contacts. So CIA and the intelligence community that focuses on the foreign field, we don't look at what's happening, for example, in U.S. social media. We leave that to the FBI and other domestic agencies. And so whenever I had indications that the Russians were doing things, I immediately passed it to the FBI because the FBI needed to investigate. They needed to pull those strings. And the results of those investigations I'm unaware of, except for what has been released publicly and included in the Mueller report.
We're talking with John Brennan, former CIA director. Gavin in Long Beach asks, is there a major shift within the CIA that occurs from presidential administration to administration in terms of projects that might take many years to come to fruition?
Yeah, that's a good question. The independence, the apolitical, nonpartisan nature of the CIA really remains, I think, unaffected by whoever's in the White House. Now, a president and his or her national security team will have their own priorities in terms of the types of things that the CIA and other intelligence agencies should focus on. And so there will be shifts, understandably. Some administrations also decide to engage in certain covert action programs that a president will authorize and direct the CIA to carry out. But I think implicit in your question is a lot of these intelligence collection activities really require a fair amount of investment and time. And so there are some strategic priorities that need to endure, but there are also some near-term interests on the part of administration that the CIA, NSA, and others need to be able to respond to. And also because crises happen during administrations, and the intelligence community needs to adapt to those developments rather quickly.
Mr. Brennan, the Middle East is your region of specialty as you were coming up in the CIA. When you look at your tenure with the agency and it's dealing with all the complexities of that region. What's your major critique, the things that you, in hindsight, wish the agency would have done differently, either with intelligence collection or influence in the region?
Well, I think the CIA in particular has maintained very good relationships with the intelligence and security services of the countries throughout the Middle East region, which is important because even if the political relationships between Washington and Arab or other capitals deteriorate, frequently it's the intelligence channel that stays in place and provides an opportunity to exchange messages as well as concerns and questions. When I look back over the last 50 years in the Middle East, I really regret that the United States was not able to be more effective through many administrations in terms of addressing the Palestinian question and helping the Palestinian people realize the self-determination and the statehood that they deserve. Unfortunately, for a variety of reasons, that has not happened. You know, some peace treaties have been signed between Israel and Egypt and Jordan. There's the establishment of diplomatic relations between Israel and the UAE and Bahrain recently. But what I really feel is that the Palestinian people have received short shrift. In addition, when I look at the awful humanitarian crises and as well as bloodshed and conflict in places like Syria and Yemen and Iraq, I understand that there are great limits to America's ability to shape events in that region, but I do think that there were a number of missteps. I think the invasion of Iraq back in 2003 by the United States was very misguided and led to a number of problems. I do think that, unfortunately, the Arab Spring, which resulted in a number of efforts by the Arab peoples to displace authoritarian leadership, many of those efforts were stillborn. They did not result in a real growth of democratic processes. So I think the Middle East still has a long way to go before it's going to allow the peoples of that region, of all different ethnicities and backgrounds and religions, to really enjoy the opportunities that I think the 21st century provides as far as participation in their political systems as well as economic development.
John Brennan is the former director of the CIA. His new memoir, Undaunted, My Fight Against America's Enemies at Home and Abroad. It's a very unfair last question, but it's about China policy. And based on your experience heading the CIA and your many years there, what do you think is the most effective way for the United States to engage China with the intelligence information that, like Russia, it's attempting to influence American public opinion about the election and, of course, the sorts of, you know, economic disputes that we have with China?
I think we have to have a very practical and realistic approach toward China. China is a growing world power. It has tremendous economic power and influence, but also it's growing in military capability as well as political influence. There are some areas that we really need to push back on the Chinese, including on the trade front. And I do believe, whether it's this administration or a Biden administration, we need to continue to work on that. But there are areas where we can cooperate and we can coordinate our efforts. And we need to, I think, recognize that we cannot try to stifle China's growth. We have to understand what its implications are for our security on the military front, on the national security front, and on the economic front. But China is a force to be reckoned with. And I think going after them with a blunt instrument, including on the trade front, is not productive. But we also have to make sure that they understand that we have real concerns and will not countenance some of their efforts, for example, related to Hong Kong or the suppression of the rights of Muslim Uyghurs in Western China. And so I do think a Biden presidency will be wide-eyed and will understand exactly how to deal with China, again, compete where we need to, challenge them when we must, but also recognize that U.S.-Chinese relations really are important, not only for each country, but also for, I think, global security and prosperity.
Mr. Brennan, thank you for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Larry. I enjoyed it.
Thank you. John Brennan, author of Undaunted, My Fight Against America's Enemies at Home and Abroad, former director of the Central Intelligence Agency, and he headed the CIA from early 2013 to early 2017, but spent nearly 30 years with the agency. You're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Three former Los Angeles city officials have written a joint op-ed in the Los Angeles Times in which they're calling for a thorough revamping in how development is conducted in the city of Los Angeles. We'll talk about that op-ed coming right up in 1 minute on Air Talk.